Hello, I'm Jane Johnson and we're back with the Careering into Motherhood podcast. My guest today is Teresa Klassner. Teresa has most definitely had what you can call a portfolio career over the years, from corporate to charity to coaching and working with startups and women at all levels and of all ages. Now, at 60, her passion for life is contagious and she does it all with a smile. Let's get this interview underway. Oh dear, I'm glad that we are, obviously we are not in a studio and it's probably good for you because I decided to go for a run this morning. So I thought this morning should be the best day to try going for a run.
Why the best day on a sort of brand?
So there's a story behind it. I went to the loo this morning and my pee was bright red and I've been working really long hours and things. And the last time I did that really long hours working, I got a kidney infection. So I thought, oh God, here we go again. That's it. I need to prioritize myself. I need to go for do some exercise and so on. Anyway, doing my run, very sweaty. And I suddenly realized I'd eaten about 15 baby beetroot last night. And literally that was it. So then I was like, oh shit, also I'm going to be late for the podcast. So I raced home. So you literally have me warts and all.
Oh God, what a story, the whole beetroot thing. But hey, if that's what it took to get you to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
With doing the long hours? I was going to pick you up on that.
Well, it's because I have my son, I have an 8-year-old. He's off school, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, while he can entertain himself for a bit, he can't do lots. And actually, he's signed up for one of these camps, holiday camps, but they're never kind of full days. So it's like dropping him and he wants to do it. It's over the other side of London. He's mad about basketball. Anyway, so I've been dropping him there and picking him up, which means I've only got very few hours in the day to do some work.
So you're wedging in at sort of those late night slots.
I am, once he's gone to sleep. But I don't mind, I'm a bit of a night owl. What about you?
I get really enthusiastic talking about this. I've always kept really random hours. I cannot work between the hours of 9 to 5.
Really?
It makes me sad and depressed.
Yeah.
And I think that comes, like you say, you have an 8-year-old, you know, when I had my kids, they're like big teenagers now, very big, like sort of 20, 21, 19, that kind of age. I've always, well, for the most part, worked for myself and run my own businesses. And I was one of the first to have a smartphone, which was called a Palm Pilot.
Okay, I remember the Palm Pilot. Yeah. It was like a kind of Kindle type BlackBerry.
I was acing it. I was literally in the playground feeling like I can take calls, I can send emails, and no one knows that I'm not sitting at a desk in an office. We're talking about 2001. So in those days, I was a video editor, producer, that kind of thing. And what I would do is I would spend the whole day with my kids, my family. I loved it. They had no clue that I worked. But in the evening is when I would go to my desk and start to do editing. And editing is long, long, long hours.
Yeah.
And I would work for days, like till 5 in the morning, sleep for a couple hours and get up. I always thought, you know what, I'm acing this thing called motherhood and working, because I had a proper job. In those days, I was masking to my clients that I even had family. So I was thinking, no one knows that I'm actually doing both things. I'm doing this job, I'm managing, and I'm also giving all of my time that I want to give to my kids. And I just thought, God, everyone needs to know this. It was just by just having that mindset that that's how I was going to manage things. And that's what I did. So the knock-on effect of that now is I still, although I'm recently changing, I have to say that, but I still operate in that way, i.e. between 9 and 5, I'm out. If the sun's shining, I feel miserable sitting at a desk or doing chores or work. The sun's out, I'm out, because in the UK, when the sun's out, you have to celebrate it and embrace it. And I literally do. That is my priority. That's on the top of my to-do list. And then in those dark hours where I feel everyone's watching TV or doing those kind of other things, that's when I'm sort of beavering away, getting one step ahead. Because then I'm ready for the morning. The morning I've landed all these emails in the evening, so people have to deal with them, but they're not going to respond straight away. So I know I've got free time.
But do you not think as well, it's, I sense this in you, Teresa, a bit of the rebel in you that's like, no one's going to tell me when to work. So, you know, the norm, the accepted practice is 9 to 5, as Dolly Parton told us. But do you not think it's a bit like, well, I'm not going to be told that those are the hours I can work?
I do have a big rebel streak in me, but it's not an angsty, narky kind of rebel.
No.
And it's born out of not being able to operate in any other way. So I remember even from being a really, really young girl, really young, like, you know, 5, 6, and people would say, oh, look at that blue flower. And I would know, I would say, how do you know that's blue? You're looking at blue, but it might not be blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'd always have that questioning
thing. And looking at things from a different angle.
Yeah, so when I went to work, I worked from 18 in the corporate world for 10 years as a sort of PA secretary, which was a complete joke, knowing my character now. But they would say, oh, you need to do things like this. And I would always think, who says you need to do things like that? You could do things another way. So I've always had that, it's more of a questioner thing.
Mm.
And I suppose in repeatedly asking questions of myself and others, I just know that there are a myriad of other ways to look at things, do things.
Yes. Which is obviously why you are doing what you do now. Obviously, it makes you the perfect person for coaching. So what are the top 5 pieces of career advice that you've either been given yourself or you've learned along the way or you use with your clients? There are clearly lots of different ways of doing or getting to one result. So I feel awful asking you to hone it down to 5.
Yeah, do you know what? And it's so funny you said about the rebel, because when you suggested, oh, maybe do 5, and I sat down with the list, I thought, oh, bugger the 5.
I knew you were going to say that. Why should I do 5?
Totally. But listen, I thought, Teresa, do your 5. So I did actually compile a list because I thought it was just helpful to think about it for myself. I want to be clear here. I haven't had a corporate job as such for, well, since I was 27 and I'm 60 now. But prior to that, I did have a long corporate career. It was a very long time ago, but obviously it's still relevant.
Yes. It doesn't have to be corporate. So, it's just around how women manage their careers.
Yes. And when I'm giving, I don't like to give advice, but, you know, curiosities around what to do about changing your career. I want to be authentic about this. I'm not actually doing that myself. But what I will say is that I coach a lot of women, both in and out of organisations, and women who are kind of setting up their own businesses and doing the solopreneur, mumpreneur, whatever you want to call it, entrepreneur kind of route. So I do have very current experience in what people are thinking, feeling and doing now, and a sense of what works. So that's where my advice comes from. And the first thing I really want to say to women, and I said this a lot in my blogs, and I realised I said the same thing twice in 2 different blogs. I thought, blimey, I've just repeated myself.
That's all right. You clearly feel passionate about it.
Yeah, I do. I feel so passionate about this. I almost feel like this is a mantra I want every woman to hear. But I want women to value every day that they've lived on this planet. And that includes every day as a parent, every day as a carer, every day that you've done something where you might feel, I've been out of the workplace, my skills are washed up, good for nothing. I've got nothing to offer anyone and I can't feel that I can contribute in the workplace. What I really know, and I say this from my heart because I know it of myself, is that every day that I've lived, I have made a choice. That choice has been in alignment with my values. It's like, that is what I want to be doing at this time, in this day, in this moment. And I don't regret any of it or feel that I've been slipping back, I can't contribute, that I'm not up to speed with what's going on in the workplace. There's many of those soft skills, which is a joke that they're called soft skills.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll call them that for now, which are being taught in the workplace, you know, to men and women, feeling like they need to know themselves, understand their strengths and their values. This is what women are doing automatically from their gut all of the time. And that is invaluable in knowing who you are, what you can do, what you want to do, and how you want to present yourself, and all of that kind of thing. All of those days and hours that you've been making those choices can be brought forward into any role that you decide you want to do now. And I want women to stand up and be proud of every decision that they've taken, and to extol those virtues in front of every interviewer in those moments, saying, yes, this is me, this is what I did. This was the most important thing to me at that time. In actually doing that, I learned this. All that kind of rhetoric can be kind of spewed out with passion, determination, unashamedly, not that, oh, yeah, sorry, I've been out of the workplace. I feel like I don't know anything. And almost feeding into another phrase, which I really don't like, is imposter syndrome. What is imposter syndrome? We have to get over that. We have to be saying now, we've been talking about it since the 70s. It's time to end that. How do we do that? We do that by speaking up for ourselves. We're doing this in late July, just after the Lionesses, British football team, have kind of powered through at the moment through to the final. We don't know the outcome yet. Look at those women. Look at every single one of those women on that pitch. Look at the journey that women's football has had to come from nobody being interested to playing in absolutely packed out stadiums.
And prime time TV as well. I loved it.
Absolutely. And their spirit, their determination, their courageousness, all of those things. We can do that on a mini scale in our own lives. That's how we need to be, to show up when we want to do the things that we want to do.
I feel really torn on this stuff because I think most of the women I know, I have these kind of conversations all the time where we all want to help one another be the best we can be. We all think, you know, our best mates are kick-ass and all this kind of thing. We know women are amazing. Yet also on the flip side of that, every day when I go on LinkedIn, there's somebody who's written, you know, that they've been turned down for a job because a recruiter or a hiring manager or something. It's hard when the world is telling you that you need to have spent the last 4 years pointing at PowerPoint and, you know, Excel spreadsheets to have any value to an organization. I mean, we know it's absolute crap. We know it is. And this is one of the things I also feel so passionately about. I was reading earlier this week that by 2027, women are going to control, and I'm not going to remember the numbers now, trillions and trillions. They are going to be the biggest influencers of consumer spend. We already are, but you should see the most sort of exponential growth in that influence. And this is where I think if we believe in ourselves, in the power that we have over economies and things like that, that's where we can say, okay, I'm not going to wait to be let back into a world of work that never really wanted me once I became a mother anyway. I'm going to go out with the other amazing women and people that I know, because there are, it's not just women, there are other people from minority communities, diverse communities who are willing to get behind each other. And we're going to go and create something that works for us. Because frankly, the world of work that is out there at the moment doesn't work for so many.
It's not fit for purpose. In a way, it's like the big sort of massive Titanic steamrollers. It's an old archaic system that is not agile and can't shift quick enough for the way we want it to shift. So what do? We just have to form smaller, more nippy little ships, twist and turn with the wind. There is a common parlance out there that this is the story for women returning to the workplace. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it's just the lens you're looking at it. So then actually you step into that world, step into that life. Everything is about our mindset and the lens through which we see things. So if we were able to shift that a little bit and not make the assumption, I hate to say it, but it's a little bit of victimhood. Oh, I'm trying and nobody wants me. It's so typical, everyone out there. Don't tell that story. Tell another story. And then you'll go into that situation with a totally different energy. Your nervous system will be wired completely different. And maybe you'll try different things in a different way. Personally, I don't think that way. I don't think, oh, I'm going to go into this job and they're going to think X, Y, and Z. I don't think what they're going to think. because I don't know what they're going to think, owning who you are.
I think it's also tough when we look at, because the old world is where wealth creation has happened. So we see these people who've gone into roles, they've risen up the ranks, they've gone on, been in, you know, what people would term successful, created wealth for themselves and them and their families. And we look at that and go, well, I want some of that, but you won't let me in. And I think this is where I feel so passionately about just ripping up the old paradigm and starting something new. Don't go in looking at how can I get into that world. Let's build something that creates wealth for us, whatever wealth and happiness, whatever wealth may mean to you as an individual. Because I can see it's happening where women, as I say, are creating these ecosystems. We are naturally more inclusive. We naturally create ecosystems that are more diverse and equitable. But it's, you got to start small. You've got to start somewhere.
I completely agree. I think it's not being formulaic about your approach or thinking this is the way that things get done. And this is, again, the rebel instinct in me. When somebody says, follow this formula to X, Y, and Z, at the moment, my bee in my bonnet is about your typical customer thing, what you have to do in order to get sales or get in front of people. I think the elixir of life and moving forward is curiosity. So be really curious about those existing, you know, formulas that kind of work. I think that's really interesting, but don't feel like you have to do it or know it. The epitome of creativity is when you can be curious and then apply what you know to something new and make something different. And you can only do that when you let go of needing to know everything. In fact, the invitation is to know nothing, to have a beginner's learner's mindset and be curious and go, God, that's really interesting. How does that work? And I bet with that kind of approach, say even in interviews, people are going to love that you're curious and want to know rather than, oh, yes, I do things like this. I've done things like that. This is my track record. To hell with that. So, look, I'm really fascinated about this business. How did you go about setting this up?
Yeah.
People love that. People love to be asked questions and to be interested in them. Letting go of that need to have to know or to own everything that you've always done in this sort of linear fashion is actually the route to people being more interested in you.
Is that your number two piece of advice?
It's on my list.
This is not going to be linear, is it? Is it?
Curiosity. Let go of knowing. And I love that idea, because if I look through any lens, it's the lens of people feeling like you have to know stuff and be clever. And obviously that triggers me being a dyslexic at school and feeling like I sleptwalked through school. Well, I left school at 16 and feeling like, God, I don't even remember one thing that I learned at school. And my motivation for being at school was for friendships. And it was a very successful formula. It worked really well. And I still have those friendships. So, of course, I don't remember anything I learned at school. And I don't think many people do, really.
That's where it starts, isn't it? At school, where you have to be told what to do, learn it, and then apply it. And yet, as you say, the natural sort of human kind nature, if I think now my son is constantly, what's that, why is that, what, you know, why do you do things like that, why do you say that? Yeah, it's just that curiosity of needing to know.
He's asking questions about what he's curious in. What he's curious in is what he remember. Probably he won't remember all the times you said to him, did you know about this and did you know about this. If his mind isn't focused on that, he's going to go, oh really, okay. When you're ready to learn, the teacher shows up. You know, that is your open curiosity about what you're innately attracted to knowing. And to hold that mindset, I think you've got to really forget everything that you already know or feel that you need to know. You've just got to think that you know nothing. And I know I know nothing. All I do is ask questions. And it's been my university of life. Because with all of, say, you know, just in my friendship group, what motivates them, what jobs they do. I could walk into any of my friends' jobs and do their jobs because I've asked them how they do their jobs. What do they do? Like, what steps do they take? What directions do they go in? Because I'm curious, I'm really interested in how does that actually work? And that has been rocket fuel for me.
You surely are in your perfect career right now, you know, helping people as a coach. I think we've got time for maybe one more piece of top career advice that you use.
We've alluded to it already in a way, but, you know, not to do things in the sort of standard way. If you're looking for a new job, if you're, you know, not satisfied in your current job, I think one of the typical ways might be to go to a recruiter. I think you mentioned a recruiter whose motivation is for their commission to get people into roles. You'd have a long journey to start to persuade them that you're not the person that they've made up their mind that you are.
Yes, or that they've made up their mind, they need someone who looks like this.
So I would kind of go about it a different way. Rather than wait for people to pick you, I would go and pick the company. Have a look around at what organisations you'd like to work in, who do you admire, the values of the company, the values of the entrepreneur who set the company up. See if you think that that's where you could work and go and offer your services. Say, I love what you do. Can I become a volunteer here one day a week or even just a little block of time? And most people I know who've got roles that they love have got them through their network and people who've recommended them. And so to oil that channel way above doing the, you know, like, is it Indeed, that job recruit?
Yeah.
Who sort of scan your CV with a bot.
Yes, they do, exactly.
This is not how we go about getting jobs, because our jobs are one of the fundamental things to our characters.
It's so true.
So we need to put as much warmth and empathy and love into our job search as we do about making a meal for our best friends when they're coming around for dinner. You know what I mean?
It's so true. It's finding something that fits, something that's right for you. And I mean, there is a statistic that 75% of people find jobs through their network. So there's some huge number of roles that are just, they're simply not advertised, and they're certainly not advertised on Indeed.
And I know that's true for me even with coaching. I mean, any coaching roles I've got have been through a network, through the people I know or recommendations. So I know what works for me. So hard sell, which is akin to the recruiter network, I think, is a long, laborious and soulless process, and we don't need soulless processes.
No, when you're picking, you know, your team, the people you want around you, it's people, relationship based things. So use those relationships that you already have to find something, because your friends know you best, the people around you know you best, they're going to know. I also think the mum drum beats the loudest. So if you tell people, tell your mum friends that you're looking for something, tell them what you want, they'll know someone who knows someone, and before you know it.
And actually, you make a really important point there. I did some training with Google. They have a program called I'm Remarkable. I don't know if you've heard about it. This research that they uncovered there is that women don't speak about their accomplishments in the same way that men do. So men are quite good at, you know, inverted commas, bragging, and women don't brag because they feel they're going to be kind of chided for doing that. The evidence shows that they are. It's a double-edged sword. But, and it goes back to what I said at the beginning, we can't just sit there and say, oh, you know, if I talk about my achievements, people are going to think I'm a wally or whatever. We literally, women, we have to get over ourselves. I think that is my message for this podcast. We have to speak about our accomplishments so people know. Like you just said, people won't know how great you are unless you tell them. Not many people are going to ask you.
No, they're not.
To that point that you said just then about speaking up, it's important that we do that.
Teresa, we've certainly done that today. I've loved talking to you. It's been brilliant. We've gone everywhere from beetroot wee to speaking up.
I know.
Thank you ever so much for your time. I've really loved talking to you. And you can find out more about Teresa and working with her in the show notes. I loved talking to Teresa there. I felt like I've known her for years, but we were only introduced by a friend just a few months ago. I still have yet to meet her in person, and I can't wait. You can find out more about working with Teresa over on our website, If you weren't aware, we offer the biggest library of career advice for women. You'll get access to a cohort of over 50 coaches who can help women with all aspects of life as a parent. Go on, go and check it out. www.careeringintomotherhood.com. I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks for listening.